Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
So glad to have a chance to share with you all today. The title of the message this morning is Be a Light. Be a light. You know, God has called us to be a light in a dark world. And the world we are living today, He has called you and I to be a light. Now, thank God that God didn't ask us to build a light. He didn't call us to go and find a light. He calls us to be the light. Because the light of the life is already inside of us. He's living on the inside of us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He is already on the, He's living on the inside of us. All we have to do is let Him shine. He says, he says to lift Him up, and He would be lifted up, and He would draw all men to Himself. People need to see the light. But you know, we can't be a light on accident. You know, we can't walk through life and assume that our light is shining. It's something that we have to be intentional about. It's something that we have to do. We have to walk out. Our light doesn't shine by default. You know, in our house, our lights, you know, don't turn, well, I guess in some houses they probably turn on by themselves, but for the most part, if you want a light to turn on, we have to go over and you got to switch that light on. It's not that it doesn't have power in the house. It's just that you got to turn it on. And similarly, Jesus is on the inside of us, but we've got to let Him shine. Amen? We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 today. And the book of Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul, and he's in prison. He was in prison three times. And this was the second time that he was in prison. He wrote four letters. The book of Colossians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians that we'll be in today, and then also the book of, I want to say the book of Onesimus, but it is the book of Philemon. There you go. Thank you. And he's writing to a man named Onesimus about a man named Philemon. But the Apostle Paul, when he's writing these letters, all of the churches that he's writing to, there are specific issues that he's writing about. He's wanting to address a specific issue that was raised, that was brought to him while he was imprisoned. Except for the book of Philippians. It seems that he's writing to a church that doesn't have these major issues that he feels like he's needing to address. Instead, he's writing to a people who are very close to his heart. Because the Philippians, while Paul was on the mission field bringing the gospel to the people around, the Philippian church was the only church that was partnering with Paul financially, and they did so much. They wanted the gospel to go forth in the same way that he came into their life. And they were born again. He wanted to make sure that other people heard as well. And so Paul, he's thanking them for it. But the Philippian church also was facing persecution. They were facing some difficulty. You see, they were experiencing pressure from outside the church walls. They were being forced, they were being pressured by people who were trying to force them to conform to the societal norms of that day. They were also faced with issues of a corrupt government. Christians in that day were being wrongfully imprisoned and even killed for their faith. And so there were fractions that were beginning to happen in that church. Division was beginning to happen from the pressure of what they were facing. And Paul was writing to them. And he was letting them know that he understood. In chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1, acknowledging that he understood that they were facing pressures. But he encourages them. He encourages them and says, listen, I want to encourage you he encouraged them to be of like mind, to be in unison with one another, and to humble themselves just as Jesus did. That even though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, as something that he was not willing to let go of. And yet he emptied himself of his glory, and he humbled himself, taking on the form of man, even to the point of a servant, lived a perfect life, and he was obedient to death, even to death on a cross. And the Bible says that God raised him up. And he says that just as Jesus humbled himself, let me encourage you that in the face of persecution, let me encourage you to humble yourself. And he says to walk out your salvation. Walk it out. And he says that he wanted them to do it in a very specific way. And we find that in Philippians chapter 2. In the face of persecution, humble yourself just as Jesus did and walk out your salvation together. And he says in this way, we're going to be in verse 14. We're going to read three verses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says this: do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Paul encourages the church, knowing that they're facing persecution, encourages them to humble themselves together and to work out their salvation by doing all things without complaining and grumbling. Now, to be fair, the church in Philippi, they had a reason to be upset. They had a reason to be disgruntled. They had a reason to complain. They weren't complaining about nothing. They had a reason. You see, they were being pressured by the world around them to compromise their Christian beliefs in order to fit in with society. Now, that sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Because we too are facing similar pressures as believers by the world around us to adopt ideas like tolerance, gender identity, abortion, relativism. You know, the idea of relativism is that there's no absolute truth, but instead we create our own truth. We create our own truth. That's the idea. Or humanism, the idea that I am God. That it's a world without God, a life without God, where life is all about me. And the world is pressuring the church to adopt these same ideas. Society today is trying its best to pressure the church into compromising its Christian values in order to fit in with the culture of the day. There's an expectation that we fit in with them. That's not love, this is love. They are pushing for the church to embrace secular, humanistic concepts in place of Christian values that are found in God's word. And what is crazy and sad is that there are churches who have done this very thing. You see it on social media. You see it on TikTok. You see it on Instagram. And it really is sad. It really makes me sad. Because God has called us to be a light, not to fit in. And unfortunately, they have embraced the world's systems, giving themselves over to doctrines of devils. Now, that's not my words. That's from the Word of God. That's not my words. And I will say this, that the problem that we have is not a political problem. Regardless of what platform we vote for, it does not matter in this issue. And it's not a societal issue. What we're facing is a spiritual issue. You see, because the devil is doing everything he can to build a world, to build a nation that is without God. That is his desire. Now listen, if you know me, you know that I really don't care about politics. I really don't. You know, and I vote because I know that my vote matters. I know that, especially as a Christian, my vote matters. But I'm not choosing a side. That's just not me. What I do know is that the issue is not a political party. A people group is not the issue. It's the devil himself. He's doing everything he can to misguide and to deceive people into darkness and to keep them in darkness. He wants to do everything he can to gain control of the church, to dim its light so that he can keep more people in darkness. That is the problem. It's a spiritual problem. And hearing these things, rightly so, makes us upset. And it should. It should make us upset. And we have a right to be, because we are living in a day and age where God is being removed from the picture. It is true. Whether it be Christian values, whether it be the family unit, whatever it may be, corruption is trying to seep its way more and more and more into our government system. Schools are being used as a place to indoctrinate our children with twisted agendas. That is true. And I'm not looking at it, I'm looking at it from one perspective, and that's the spiritual perspective. Because that is what is going on. The devil's doing everything he can to deceive. And we have a reason to voice our concerns. We have a reason to be upset. We have a reason to complain. It's not like we're complaining about nothing. However, I believe that the Apostle Paul had even more of a reason to complain. You see, Paul, he was wrongfully imprisoned for preaching the gospel, for preaching the good news, thrown in prison, freedoms taken away. He did nothing illegal. He just made the devil mad. That's what happened. And he wanted to shut him up. Paul was wrongfully imprisoned. He was threatened to be killed. He was mistreated by the government of that day. And he was beaten on numerous occasions. Whenever I think about the Apostle Paul, you know, I just can't imagine him walking like a normal man. Him enduring the beatings, the beatings and the things that he endured. No doubt his physical quality of life had been affected. No doubt he was walking with a limp. No doubt he had a busted face. No doubt his quality of life was impaired because of the people and the government that he was serving at that time, in the time that he was alive. If anyone had a reason to complain, it was the Apostle Paul. However, we don't see him complaining about his current circumstances. What was interesting is that we see him actually rejoicing in his hardship, which is amazing when you think about it. In reality, if we were to put ourselves in his shoes, I mean, wow, couldn't even imagine it. Instead, while he was in prison, he was excited, and he writes this to the Philippians, because while he was in prison, the Roman guards and the Roman military were hearing the gospel for the first time, which it would have never happened if he wasn't in prison. He was rejoicing. He wasn't focused on the issues that were in front of him. He wasn't worried about the problems that were in front of him. He wasn't upset at the people who threw him in prison and who were beating him. He wasn't focused on that. Instead, he was focused on the goal. That was souls. So what I love about our church is that our church focuses on the main thing, which is souls. Why we do what we do is to bring people from darkness to light. To bring people from death to life. That is what we are about. It's what God has called us to do. And you see, I believe that Paul understood something that God is wanting for us to grab a hold of today. Number one, that we are living in a crooked and perverse generation, is what the Word of God says. That we are living in a world that is lost. That's just what it is. There are issues, but the problem is not the issue. The problem is that people need Jesus. The word crooked in the Greek is the word scolios, which is where we get the word scoliosis, which we all understand that it's the bending of the spine, the warpness of a spine that is unable to handle the weight of life. And similarly, a crooked generation that is warped and wicked, unable to handle the weight of life. Listen, this is who I was before. This is who you were. Before we knew Jesus, this was the best. This was our best. We were crooked. Not only, we were also perverse. It's the Greek word diastropho, which means to be corrupt, to turn aside from the right path. And it's not that we're just trying to turn away from God, it's just that we were blinded from the truth until Jesus stepped in on the scene. Praise God. You see, I'm registered to vote, by the way, and I will be voting. But I also know that whatever party I vote for doesn't matter. I'm sorry, it matters. But in this situation, neither are going to fix the spiritual problem that's on hand. Because it's not a political issue. It's not a social issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's not the answer. Number two, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He was the answer then with the Apostle Paul. He wasn't focused on the things that were going on in front of him. The fact that he was in prison, he found joy in it because he was able to see that Jesus is the answer. And some of those Roman soldiers were getting saved. Their lives were changed because Jesus is the answer. Jesus, he is the one that can transform a person from the inside out. And I know because that was me. I still remember going to church with my family, and my whole family went and got saved. And I just went behind them. I just did it just because, I mean, you know, I just felt like I didn't want to be the only one there, so I went up to the front. But I was praying the prayer, but I really didn't mean it. I knew in the back of my mind I was going to go back doing everything that I was doing. And then one day I got invited to camp. I went and I heard the gospel like I had done many times before, but for some reason it was different that time because I believed. I believed the truth. And I received Jesus into my life. And I still remember to this day getting up. You know, somehow I ended up in the front on my knees, on my face. And I got up and it was like I saw through new eyes because God, he transformed me from the inside out. Jesus did it. Not my youth pastor. It wasn't anything else. Now, no doubt, you know, my mom was praying for me. Thank you, Mom. Okay. My siblings were praying for me. You know, Jenny, the one who invited me to church, she was praying for me. My grandmothers was praying for me. But let me tell you, Jesus is the one that changed my life because Jesus is the answer. And thirdly, what God wants us to realize, we are living in a crooked, perverse generation. Jesus is the answer, and God is relying on you. You see, because God, he has already done his part. Paul understood this. He came and he revealed, knocked him off his high horse and let him know that he had called him because he had already sent his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, forgiving us, and the door is open so that whosoever that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he went and he began to share the gospel wherever he went. He understood that God was relying on him, and similarly, God is relying on us. He's relying on us. He's relying on you and me to be a light. He's calling us to be a light wherever we go. In our family, we're called to be a light. In our friends' lives, at work, wherever we go, God is calling us to be a light because there is somebody that God is trying to send us to. And he's hoping that that we will shine our light so that they can be saved. Let us not give in to the temptation to complain about our current situation. Again, because the problem is not political, nor is it social, but it's spiritual. Let us not get stuck on the issues that we are facing, but instead, let us choose to be a light. Let us let our light shine. But it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen just because we're kind. It doesn't happen just because we go through life and just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that our light is shining. We have to be intentional. So how? How do we shine our light? How can we shine our light today in a crooked and perverse generation? Which, by the way, it was crooked and perverse then. It's still crooked and perverse today. It's not the people, it's the devil. People are not our problem. Our leaders are not our problem. Our officials are not the problem. It's the devil who is blinding. Amen? So how can we be intentional? How can we let our light shine? How? Number one, is we can pray. We need to pray. I remember when we were going through Life Shape. I don't even remember what year that was. That was like 2015 or something like that. 2014, 2015, something like that. I remember every single Wednesday for an entire year, we came to church and we spent time and we prayed for our nation. We prayed for our leaders. It was built on 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's in my heart now. I'm sure it's in all of our hearts now. We pray for a whole year. He says that if my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. God is calling us to pray. If we can be a light, if we want to be a light, we got to pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Not complain about them. Not talk bad about them. But pray for them. Pray for our congressmen, both nationally and statewide and citywide. Amen. That we lift up these government officials in prayer. That we pray for our neighbors. That we pray for our family. We pray that Jesus would save souls. That Jesus would change their hearts like he did yours. You remember who you were before you came to Christ? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. We all know. We all know. My mom knows who I am. Actually, you only know about half of it, so I haven't told you everything. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but don't ask me either, actually. But we all know who we were before Jesus came into our life and he saved our soul and he changed our hearts from the inside out. Pray for our country, pray for our nation, for our leaders and our neighbors that he would save their soul, that he would change their hearts, and that he would heal our land. Amen? To be a light, we can pray. Secondly, we can hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to the Word of God. Not politically, spiritually. That we boldly raise the standard of God's Word. In a day and age where the Word of God is trying to be removed, that we raise up a standard of the Word of God in our life. Not to be right. Not to say that I told you so. Not to say that you are wrong, but so that people can see the truth. So that they can see the truth. We're not trying to shine our light harshly in somebody's face just so we can be right. No, that we can speak the truth in love. And that we do not waver from the truth. I'm so thankful that Jenny Metter was holding the Word of God in her life strongly. And that she did not waver. And she kept inviting me to go to church. And I kept telling her no. I didn't want to go to church. I was getting popular at school. I didn't want to mess that up. So silly to think about, but that's really why. But I'm so glad that she stuck to her guns. And she kept praying for me. And she kept telling me about how God had changed her life in this church. And that I finally said yes. Thank God for her. And thank God for you in somebody else's life that you are holding the Word of God up in your family's life. That you're holding the Word of God up in your friend's life. Not to be right, but so that they can see the truth. So that they can know where to go to find that beacon of light. And thirdly, to shine our light, we must share Jesus with others. Because what Jesus did in our life is true, and he can do the same thing in our, we can do the same, he can do the same thing, excuse me, in their life. But it's not our opinions. Our opinions are not going to change nobody. They're just going to make them mad. The world is watching, and they are trying to find the truth. They're searching. And people do not need to see us. They need to see Jesus. But because he is the one who will change their life, who will change their soul, who will make them born again, and that they will be saved. And he'll take care of it from there. We got to be a light. I remember in 2021, I think it was, 2021, we were doing that mission to Arizona. I'm sure y'all remember that. We've been doing so many things. I love that our church is always doing something. But we were in Arizona. We were doing a work there. And I remember on our way back, we were passing through Texarkana, and my stepbrother, Deshaun, was living there in Texarkana. And so me and Ethan and Jacob and Cody, we were all in the vehicle. I think there was one more person. And it was Cameron. And on our way, we passed through Texarkana, and I was like, hey, man, won't you meet us at the Big Texan? So we met there, and there we began to tell him about Jesus. And he got saved, gave his life to Jesus, and, man, we were all excited, man. And, you know, Ethan, I've been wondering ever since then, man, how he was doing. Because I didn't know if he, you know, I lost contact with him. He changed his phone number, and I just wasn't sure if that seed of salvation stuck or if the devil found a way to pluck it out of his life. And I've been praying for him. And about 5 weeks ago, I was on my way to Tina's house, and I had gotten his phone number, so I texted him. I was like, hey, man, you know, how you doing? And he texted me back, and he said, yeah, man, I'm actually on my way back. I just left church, and I'm on my way to my pastor's house to have lunch. And I was like, really? Let's go. I was so excited. And he was telling me that he was involved in a Bible study and that God had been changing his life, and he was just trying to get closer to Jesus. You know, he's in the Army right now. And, of course, and I guess on Sunday, you know, he's able to go to church. And, man, his life, man, I was so happy because I just wasn't sure. And I was so happy to know that that seed of salvation took root in his life and he was born again. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so yesterday, I was on my way home from a funeral and we were talking. And, you know, we were talking on the phone, and he was telling me, he's like, you know, man, you know, there was this girl that I met, and you know, she told me that she was an atheist. You know, he had asked her, you know, if she knew Jesus, and she said that she was an atheist. And so he had been praying for her, and he was talking with her, and he just felt like, even though she said she was an atheist, he wasn't really sure, because it just seemed like she had been hurt by somebody in the church. I think it was her dad. And it was just so unfortunate, justified what he did because he was a Christian. You know, let me tell you, we got to be careful to not let people turn us off to the true Jesus. People do a lot of things in the name of Jesus, but it doesn't mean that that's who Jesus is. And so he was praying for her and talking to her. And he decided, listen, I mean, this is what Jesus did in my life. And he told her the truth and what he believed. And he's like, listen, man, I don't know a whole lot, but what I know is that Jesus changed my life. And he really changed his life. He really changed Deshaun's life. And so he continued to witness to her and share with her. And one day, this past week, she was talking to Deshaun, and she asked, hey, do you think it would be okay if I went to church with you on Sunday? He was like, let's go. And in fact, right now, she was at church with him today. They are on their way to their pastor's house for lunch. And I'm hoping and praying that she got born again. And if she didn't, the seed of salvation, you know, the seed of the Word of God is planted in her life. And I'm just so proud of Deshaun because he decided that he was going to be a light. He prayed for her. He was holding on to the Word of God, and he shared Jesus with her. And guess what? The devil was trying to do everything he can to keep her. But let me tell you, she knew where to find the light. She knew where to find the beacon of light because he was letting his light shine. Let me encourage you today. Amen, amen, amen. There are people in your life who are looking for the truth and they don't even know it. All they need to see is a beacon of light. They're saying one thing, but they still are questioning and wondering if this Jesus thing is real. They may have got turned off to it. Maybe they don't believe it. But there's a part of them that's still wondering if it's true. And let me tell you, it's true in your life. You've been born again. Some of you gave your life to Jesus for the first time today. Amen. I want to encourage you to be a light. I want to encourage you, let us leave here today praying for the people around us. Asking God, who are you putting on my heart? Pray for them. Hold the Word of God high, not to be right. Listen, I did that for a long time with my brother. And I remember sitting down with Pastor Ron, and he encouraged me just to love my brother. And that's what I did. I decided, man, I'm going to love my brother. And my mom saw it. We became like friends. We used to fight all the time. I know that kind Chris that y'all know, he's super nice, super kind, the nicest kid in the world. Me and him fought all the time. And then all of a sudden, I just started being nice to him. I just started being kind to him, just loving on him, encouraging him, being there for him, supporting him. He started calling me. He started coming to hang out here. He went on a mission trip with the young adults, and guess what? He got saved. He got saved. But it wasn't because I was trying to be right in his life. I stopped trying to do that. I decided I'm going to love him. I'm going to be the best big brother that I can be. I'm going to love him. I got out the way so that Jesus could shine. He stopped seeing Marcus and he started seeing Jesus. He started coming to church. He started seeing Jesus in you, and he realized that he needed him. And today he's at the Port Arthur Church, going out to the streets, witnessing to homeless people. That man, his life has changed, not because of me, but because of Jesus. There are people in your life. Come on, somebody. There are people in your life that God has planted for a reason, and he's relying on you because he's already done the work. The door is open. All he needs to know, all he is needing is for you and I to be a light. Let us pray. Let us hold up the word of God in our life as a standard, not to be right, but so that people can know the truth, and let us share Jesus with others. And he's going to do the work. He will do the work. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let us be the people that God is calling us to be. Let us be the people that God is counting on to shine a light so that the people in our family, in our friend groups, and in our work environments can be saved. Father, we offer ourselves up to you today. And God, we pray, God, that we would be a light, that we would shine our lights. Father, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to remind us, to speak to us. And God, we don't have to know a whole lot. All we have to know is how you, Jesus, changed our life. God, I pray that we would pray for our nation, that we would pray for our leaders, that we wouldn't criticize, but God, we would pray for our leaders, that we would pray for our country, that we would pray for our friends and our family members. We would pray for our coworkers. God, we would hold up the word of God as a standard in our life. And God, that we would share Jesus, that we would shine our light to the world around us so that people can be saved. In Jesus' name, if you believe that and receive that, say amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.